Hey, welcome back to Section. This is the 10th week and final section of the semester. My name is Siddharth. I go by Sid, and I am going to run you through Project 3 once again today. We're going to actually go through every step of the project and do focus especially on RSS feeds and how to parse them. So last week when we left off, we started mapping out how Project 3 goes on. What is the flow, how the JavaScript works, the PHP and such. But one of the other things we noticed was on maps.google.com, one of the really cool things is being able to enter names, places, any of any sort, and having Google Maps find that location. This is a feature that you have to implement for Project 3, and it's not something that you are expected to do by yourself. There's actually a tool in the API that lets you do it. In fact, let's take a look at this example. It's called geocoding, so taking an address, taking any sort of string that denotes a place, and converting it to an actual location on a map is geocoding. And when I hit go here, for instance, it takes me to that page, it puts a marker on the at that spot, and populates a info window that we've seen the first week and the second with the address that I just entered. So let's just try like Cambridge. You'll see that this also takes zip codes, so 02138 also goes to Cambridge. And goes to a slightly different place from Cambridge, but let's take a look at the source. This part we've seen initialized, so we first check to see if the browser is compatible for the map, whether it has AJAX, it can run the map, it can display it. And then once it does that, we set the center. This is something that we've not seen before. Geocoder equals new G client geocoder. So the new gclient geocoder is initializing an object of type gclient geocoder. That is what enables us to set up the address searching functionality. So what does this function, what does this do? So geocoder, when I hit show address, so take a look at my HTML first, it basically is just a text field with the name address and an initial value. So when the page opens up, that's the value that it displays. And then when I hit submit, this form actually goes to, it calls this function show address and returns false. The returns false is, for all practical purposes, unnecessary. Unessential, at least. But it calls this function show address and takes that value. So it takes that box's value, so whatever I just entered into it, and calls show address with that as the argument. So what does this function do? It takes one argument, which is the string that I just entered, and then it says if the geocoder has been initialized, so if geocoder, so this is like PHP, where I say PHP $i, this means does $i exist, or is it not false? And so if geocoder, geocoder.getLatLong, which is a function, it calls this function called getLatLong, so it gives you the latitudes and the longitudes, of the place you just entered. So it takes an argument. So once you give it that by some, using some setup, they tell you where that place is on a map. It gives you the latitude and the longitude. And once you have that, it's just a question of setting the center to that point, and adding a marker with that HTML.
Could you walk us through the second argument
about getLatLong
function?
Sure. So the getLatLong function, once again, like we've seen, it's like an anonymous function, so it takes the point that address maps to. Once it takes that point, so it calls this function, it does not have a name, all it has is a point that is given to it by the geocoder itself. It gives it the point of the item I just entered, so Harvard Square, for instance, takes me to some point on the map. And then using that point, it says if the point does not exist, it means the address is not found. So they return false, presumably, if the address does not exist. If it does exist, then set the center and display the info window.
It just seems funny to me, like, how does it get the point?
How does it get the point?
Shouldn't it call something else to get the point?
Right. So this is sort of like the properties of a click. When you click, it automatically has some properties, like by some virtue of the setup itself. And in the same way, because of the way they've implemented the API, they have this point that is passed to it automatically. Other questions? Yep.
So in the instructions, address value, and we're letting the geocoder API respond back to complaints.
Right.
We don't need to sort through our own database.
No, absolutely not. So that's what I want to make clear. You don't have to look through your database, try to find the zip code and the latitude launcher. You don't have to do that.
Just pull straight
yeah,
out.
Just pull, yeah.
Set it off with the markdown.
Exactly.
And then from set there, separate, and then find yep. The
yeah. Just repeat what he said. So you don't have to look through your database of cities to find the latitude and the longitude of the city. All you have to do is ask geocoder for that point, and then set the marker, and then do the operations that we'll talk about in a second. Any other questions? Great. So the other part. So today's section is going to be sort of all over the place, but I'm going to try to tie it in all in the next 20 or 30 minutes. The second part is the RSS feed. So last week, we saw the RSS feed for Cambridge. So when we entered the URL, news.google.com, news geo equals 02138, and the output equals RSS. So when we passed those arguments using get, we saw that gave back, it displays this page right here. And this is, in fact, all just RSS, which is a form of XML. And by now we're familiar with XML thanks to Project One. So I looked up a few quick examples for so you can use them. So the first one, there's not much. It's a simple XML element. We've seen this. So it's a simple XML object, and it looks like I'm just dumping something. So it's a mess. It's a huge mess. It has some attributes. It has some special attributes. Version, that's something that we've not seen before. The channel and such. But let's take a look at the code that gave us that. So it says if XML equals simple XML load file. So what does this do? What does this check for? No, what does the if condition check for, though? What does the if check for?
True or false.
Yep, basically checks for true or false. It sees if there actually exists this page, whether I can actually attribute some value to $XML. So once I have $XML with something, I'm just print recursively, I'm printing XML, which is not, it's clearly not, it's not understandable, but let's take a look at the second example. So it's sort of the same thing, but notice there are differences here. We don't have the version tag, so that's gone out, but the other, the generator, the title, the link, all of them are the same. And let's take a look at how that came about. Same URL, so I'm going to first try to open this page and store it in XML as a simple XML object. Remember that simple XML load file loads this file into a string and gives you an object of type simple XML element. And for each XML channel, so if I take a look at the first one, here we go. So each of these is actually a channel, and the channel is a simple XML element in itself. So let's take a look at let me just pull up the source here. I'm going to copy this out. I'm going to show you how RSS looks. And it's a long, so I'm just going to break it down and try to show you how this works. So the channel, there's a generator, there's a title, a link attribute, oops, the language. So far, it's all metadata. Notice that there's no actual article that we've received yet. There's a pub date, which is presumably publisher date. And let's just move on. Last build date, image title, the title of the page, so what it should display, the image that it should display, so on. So here, things get a little interesting. So I'm just going to delete all of that we've seen so far. I'm going to pull it all out. There's an item. So see how this item looks. So there's a title. The title closes. There's a link. The link is long. It has Google News, but it also links to Boston News in some manner. Has a GUID, which is some attribute, which is not obvious to me at least. I'm just going to go on until there's some basic text. So there's a little text about what the article does, and then the item closes, and then there's the next item. So essentially, the format is RSS, channel, and a bunch of items. Everybody understand the basics? So you should be able to see like the root diagram. So there's XML, the channels, so the RSS itself, and then there are the channels, and then each channel has a bunch of items. So we are interested in the item and the title of these. So when I dump the entire channel, it does not do much. It displays the same thing minus the first initial parts of the RSS feed. Let's go back, take a look at RSS 3, and I'll take questions in a second. This is a lot better. This is kind of taking out what we want. We have this huge collection of data that Google News gives us. We don't want all of it. All we want is the link in the article title of several articles. So here I have a lot of articles. And each of them are, just to show you, so when I hit refresh, so we cache it, I believe, do we? I believe we cache it, so it does not display the latest articles, but it basically displays the article link, break, article title. Let's see how I actually get at that value. So all I'm doing is for each XML, so I'm going to each channel, and for each channel, I'm reading every item as some dollar item. We've seen this for each, so it's something as dollar something. And then each those items have the attributes link and title, which I extract using item of link and item of title. I cast them as string, so I just want to explicitly say that there's going to be a string. I don't want to expect anything else. And just echo it, just print it out on the page. And this gives me this setup right here. Notice that it's all plain text. There are no links right here. So when I take a look at view page source, all it has is just like text. There are no ahrefs here. Questions? Yep.
So what would happen if you didn't cast it as a string?
What would happen if you didn't cast it as a string? So there are cases where the URL, as you can see, has a lot of random symbols, and it's possible that there is a character that distorts your HTML. So in order to just avoid confusion, I usually like cast it as a string and also call it HTML special chars, which is or URL encode, which basically says take this URL and make it safe, make it easy to read. Which is the only reason I'm casting it. Other questions? Okay. So now that I've done this, the next step obviously is, and this is very similar to what you will be doing, is to simply actually make them a link. So I have the article link, I have the article title. All you want to do is say ahref equals that article link, close the tag, insert my text, and then close the a link. So when I actually click on here, it links to the right page. And let's take a look at the source really quickly. So I have for each XML channel item as item, I'm going to say take the link, but don't just echo it. Concatenate it with the ahref syntax. So it's just like a link syntax where ahref equals link. And then I close the tag with this right here, but there's also a quote that I opened at the beginning for the link. So I have ahref equals quote, insert link, close quote. Close the tag itself, and then insert a slash a and a slash br, and a br slash a to close the a tag, and the br to actually break to the next line. As a result, I have so many articles here that are displayed as links instead of just the links. Questions? All right. So one of the requirements is that you read 5 articles, because when you read too many articles, your info window becomes really messy. So how would you go about making sure that you receive only 5 and not more? I'm sorry?
For a loop with a count?
Yeah, for a loop with a count. So insert some counter that says set some counter to articles and make sure it never goes beyond 5 or 4, depending on where you start. That'll give you 5 articles. Are there any other questions? Great. So I think now I'm going to move to the board, so we'll take a short break and we'll come right back. All right. So let's continue what I started last week, and I think this should give you a really good idea of how to go about the project in the grand scheme of things. I'm going to do what I did last week for a bit, so you've seen this, so help me out here. So one of the first thing, I have my map, you've set up your basic tools, so you have the geocoder working so that I can search for places and it'll take me there. And then when do you want to, what is the trigger for you to look for new articles, news feeds, whatever? Address or drag and drop. So address slash drag. So all this is going to happen If you change the address or drag and drop, so presumably this is going to be linked to some function go, show address, whatever, that does all of the rest for you. So there's something here that we'll come back to for in a bit. But once I've moved my page, what do I do? Once I've moved the map, I've set the new center. Now what do I look up?
Database.
Well, first to begin with, I look up, all this is JavaScript, so I look up the coordinates of the southeast and the northwest. So southeast and northwest, northeast, southwest doesn't really matter. I look at this north, southeast, and northwest coordinates, and then create my URL, which takes me to some page. I'm just going to go with getinfo.php, and pass these arguments as the get parameters. So I'll have something equals something. It depends on whether you want to do two or four, but basically I call this page. And once I've done this, I can make a request with AJAX. So everything I'm bundled here is JavaScript, right? At this point, once you've called that, we're going to come back to JavaScript at the very end once we receive information back from this page. So what does a PHP page do? So I'm going to write input as northeast and southwest coordinates, because you're just passing that as the arguments here. So you can access them using get. But once you have these, what do? Query the database and find. Query database, find cities. Right? So you've queried the database, you've found your cities. I think we're comfortable with SQL to do that. And once we have five cities now, right? So up to five cities. So you might always have fewer. But for each of these cities, so this is actually exactly what you will write for each city that you receive. What do you want to do? Right, but so along with each city, you also get a bunch of information that includes the zip code. So you also have the lat long, which will be useful. So take the zip code and query Google News. How do you do this? Using exactly what we did today. So you basically look up Google News for that zip code. So you will have geo equals $ zip code, and output equals RSS. But once you have that, you can construct your set of articles like I did today. So you will have some text, which is HTML. So which is of the form ahref equals the link of the article. The article itself, and then the close, and then break, and then up to five of these.
It's not a hard and fast rule, but it distorts the page. So the page actually moves when an info window opens.
So if you have more than five, I find that it moves out of the page itself. So, yeah, I think restricting it to five would be a good idea. Makes it look prettier too. So you have this string. But now we want to pass it back to the JavaScript. So how would we do that? Using JSON. So we'll take a look at the output, how the output should look, how the final output that goes back to JavaScript should look in a second. But so JSON you can construct in two ways. One, you can take a bunch of arrays, keep constructing it as you go, and then finally call JSON encode on the array. Or you can actually construct the string that I will show you in a second. But what all do you want to pass to your page? So you want to create a marker and attach some news to it. So what all do you need to do that?
You need the zip code because you want to print it somewhere. You have the name of the city. You have the latitude, longitude, which you've got from your database, which is where you want to create the marker. So it's something of the form. Let me move this chair out. It's something of the form. So this is an array of up to 5 elements. Something of the form. You create bindings like this. So you have name, let's say Cambridge. Oops. Cambridge. Let's say lat long. They're both going to be separate values. And then you have, what else? You have the zip code. Is 02138. And then finally, news. What is this value? Whatever I just constructed here. So when I made the string, whatever I stored it in, that is going to be my ahref HTML that goes here. And once I have this, I can have 5 of these. So 2 up to 5, and close the array, and you want to pass it back to your JavaScript. Any questions? Great. So, like I said, there are 2 ways you can do this. One, you can actually concatenate strings. So you can actually say echo this, and then echo that, and then echo a quote, and echo name, and so on, and insert the values as you go. Or, like I did in my examples last week, you can actually take an array, store it all in, and then call JSON encode to convert it into this form. But once you've done this, you pass it back to your JS, so JavaScript. So at this point, you're back to JavaScript. But now what do you have left? What all do you have to do with... So how is this going to be returned? It's going to be returned as response text. So you take the response text, call eval on it, so it'll evaluate it and convert it into a JavaScript object. Once you've done this, all you have to do, let's say you stored this in some JSON, all you have to do is say JSON equal JSON.name, and that will give you Cambridge, JSON.latitude, that will give you the next, and so on. And you can actually look through the array, extract objects this way. Any questions? Yeah? I'm sorry?
You get an error that says eval is evil.
Oh, with
JSLint.
Huh. I've actually never used JSLint, so I'd have to look that up for you. But that was a funny error. But any other questions?
So with the array that you're putting together for the name, the lat long zip code,
mm-hmm.
and then is there one link? Is that a closed bracket? And then you do that 5 times for the same city?
No. Well, so here when I constructed my link, these were 5 different links. So these are like 5 links with the text. So that was actually like 5 articles there.
Oh, there are 5 of them in there.
Right.
Close the bracket from
here. Right, from here. So this is your first city, and then the next city, and so on.
With each object is a city, and the news is all
each. Right, right.
All those 5 stories.
Right. So news consists of the string that's made of 5 stories, and then each the entire thing is a city. So the city has these bindings with them. Yes, it's not so there are, once again, 2 ways you can go here. So you can actually say, let's actually write out the array format because it gets a little, people have written this down, can I rub it out? Okay, find me if you've not written it down, I can write through it. But, so there are actually 2 things you can do here. So one thing you can do is, let's actually do the JavaScript, how you would store it as an array, the PHP array, and then call JSON encode on it. But first you'd begin with, so you'd say city, right, equals store, so city, let's say city of name, name equals the name, so I'm just going to denote that by $ name, so presumably this is the city that you're working with right now. And then you do this for a zip code, everything up on a zip code. So here you can do 2 things. You can either just set news to be that string that you created, And this string would have been created. This string contains five stories, so it's not. So you've it's exactly what I did in my example. So I'm just going to look through all the five stories, make it one string, and then pass it down here. The other way you can do this is to set city. Create a new variable. Let's call it article. So set the article to that link. So you have the article. And this article can be another array of link and link and title. So if you have article, you can push your article. You can say article of city. Article of link equals link. So you will do this five times, and then you can say article of title equals title. And then first push. Now you can say, let's see, what was the symbol I was using here? So here you can say city of news equals this article array. So in fact, instead of storing just a string here, this article itself is an array. And then when I call JSON encode on it, it's gonna make the first thing a JSON object, and then it's gonna, when I evaluate it, the second one's also gonna be a JSON object. So I will be running through two sets of values. So I'll first say for I in JSON and look at all these values, and then for J in JSON.articles, because that itself is another JSON object, look through the link and the title separately. And then at the end of all this, I will push it on to cities by cities equals city. So this will be done five times. This will, well, yeah.
For each
five times, yeah, for each city. So there are little things that you have to figure out, but that's the other way to do it. Any other questions? I'm sorry? Is it better to use JSON? It makes things a lot easier, and we strongly encourage it, because JSON is also really popular, and you're probably going to run into it at some point. But the other thing about XML is reading XML with JavaScript is really, really hard, because although it is by nature a document object model, so it's actually a DOM, but you will have to read node values of children. So you'd actually say parent.child.nodeValue equals, and then you'd extract each single value like that. So it makes a lot more sense to just go with JSON. Yep. Any other questions? Okay. I'm going to go back to the board for a bit. Okay. Pull it back down. Let's see. 1 second. Okay, here we go. Lights? So, ready? Okay. So, So you've gotten your JSON back. We've seen this example before. I just want to run through it once more to tie it all in together. You've gotten your JSON back, so you can actually access the value. So you can access the article, you can access the latitude and the longitude. So once you have the XHTML that goes into the new info window, how do you go about actually managing, how do you create the markers and add overlays to it? Before you add overlays, there's one other thing. So when I left something blank here. So the reason I did that is before you do any of these. So at the end of this process, you will have added markers to the map. But you have to. This is something that I forgot, and I've seen a lot of people forget. So I just want to make sure. I just want to remind you all to actually clear the map out of other overlays. So if you don't clear it when the moment somebody drags and drops, you will keep adding markers to the page and never remove them. And this is problematic in many senses because if you have, let's say, 5 markers right now, and then I move it a little bit, and then it sees a new area, and then it adds more, you might see more markers than you actually should. So remember to clear the overlay so that the map is clean, and then you can add the markers back on. So once you have the JavaScript JSON returned back to you, the values of the latitude and the longitude, all you have to do is create a marker using what are the arguments we've seen. This create a marker using the arguments of the point and the news you want to attach the marker to. So if you have a function called create marker that takes a point and the XHTML and creates a marker at that point and attaches a listener to it. Attaching listeners is what I wanted to show here. This is something we saw. This is like the array which says this is a secret message, but it does so using this add listener. So for every marker you create, you want to add a listener, and instead of attaching some random text to it, you will just pass it the XHTML which you will give create marker. So instead of giving create marker a number, if you give it some XHTML, and instead of creating a new string, all you have to do is say on click, open info window, lat long, and my HTML. And that HTML will contain the articles that you just sent it. Questions? Yeah?
Is it also possible to create a window on the marker itself by giving it, instead of giving it lat long, give it the marker?
Is it possible to create, give it the marker itself? But you have to, Right, but the marker does not exist though, right? You have to create the marker and then attach it to the... Right, so you will have to create the marker either way. Questions? Cool. So in fact, this is something cool. This is interesting because notice that the info window HTML also takes a point, which at first sight does not make sense because you're attaching it to a marker. So why would you have to give it a point? But let's say you want to click the map here but always open it with info window HTML on the other side of the map. So it's just an easier way to say, just do it here. But I'm actually going to explicitly say create it at the same point that you created the marker. That is all there is to it. Let's see. And finally, the last thing you have to do before you submit the project is add some of the controls to. So when I go on maps.google.com, I have some of these markers which I can zoom in with. Zoom out with and such. All you have to do is read the API. So it begins with simple controls like the zoom out and the zoom in. This is all you need, the zoom out and the zoom in. And that is implemented by simply an add control function that the API gives you. So all you have to do is add control for the control type. So the zoom out or the zoom in or the drag and drop. It's also a little button that you can move around with, although you might as well drag and drop. There are little controls that you have to add, and you should be done. Questions? That is all we have for tonight, but I'm going to be here for a bit. It's been a pleasure and honor teaching you guys, so thank you so much for listening. Have a good night.